Back on Talkline on Metro News all across the great state of West Virginia. Let's go live to Baghdad and Dan Senor in Baghdad, senior advisor to Paul Bremer, administrator of the Coalition Provisional Authority. Dan, good morning. How are you?
Good to be with you.
Good to have you on. The latest from Iraq, we have suicide bombers in the Basra area. The latest report I saw as of early this morning, about 68 people dead. They appear to be coordinated suicide bombings. What more can you add to that?
You know, it's a little early to tell at this point. We're conducting an investigation. Obviously, this is tragic. It has all the look and feel of the sort of terrorist attacks we've seen in country and, quite frankly, in other parts of the world over the last couple of years. Don't want to rush to judgment, still gathering information, but clearly it's by individuals or organizations that are looking to throw off our path to peaceful sovereignty handover on June 30th in the building of a democracy here.
The mayor of Basra has accused Al-Qaeda of being behind the attacks that also killed children. It was a van full of children on their way to school. Do you all have hints of Al-Qaeda here?
Again, too early to tell. You know, you got to be real skeptical of first reports. It looks and sounds like the sort of stuff that Abu Hassan al-Zakari, who is an affiliate of Al-Qaeda, spoke about doing in his battle plan in a document we obtained a few months ago that was headed towards senior Al-Qaeda leadership in Afghanistan. It looks like that, but again, too early to tell. It would be irresponsible to jump to conclusions before we let the investigation play out.
What's the latest in Fallujah?
Well, there are discussions going on. Obviously, you know, there's some violence as well. But we have agreed, we the coalition, along with the representatives of the Iraqi Governing Council, in negotiations the joint parties had with Fallujah political leadership and civic leaders, to halt offensive operations and for them to halt hostilities. But we need to see progress on their end. It includes turning over heavy weapons, turning over illegal weapons, turning over foreign fighters and criminals and remnants of Saddam Hussein's regime that are operating out of there. We are hopeful based on what they say, and we are hopeful based on the negotiations and their intentions. But we have to be realistic about whether or not the people we're talking to have the capacity to deliver. If they don't, we're going to have to take matters into our own hands. Time is just running out.
What about the hostages? We've seen reports and video of hostages. Is the Provisional Authority negotiating with those who might be holding hostages, and if so, is that wise to do?
No, we aren't negotiating. We don't think that's appropriate. It would send a dangerous message. So we are obviously putting all our military might and resources behind getting the safe release of the hostages. We are trying to hunt down the hostage takers. In some areas we're making progress. In other words, other areas we've got a lot of work to do. But we think it would be inappropriate and dangerous to start negotiating with these hostage takers. It would only encourage more terrorism and hostage-taking. It would not discourage it.
Dan Senor is with us in Baghdad, senior advisor to Paul Bremer. Paul Bremer, of course, the administrator of the Coalition Provisional Authority. Dominican armed forces are apparently going to pull out their presence in Baghdad. We've heard, about Spain and Honduras. Honestly, what is the condition of the coalition?
The coalition's strong. You've had some disappointments. Each country has to decide for themselves how they want to go about fighting the war on terror, what kind of role they want to have in securing Iraq's freedom. Fortunately, the majority members of the coalition have hung tough and stayed strong. Even countries that have taken really tough hits, like the Italians, the Japanese, but they have said they're going to stick this out. We've got over 30 countries on the military side that have sent troops over here. We've got over 15 countries that have civilians on the ground. We have a majority of the NATO countries with troops on the ground. The UN is engaged here with a political process. So it is a very international effort. Obviously, we are disappointed by any withdrawals, but we've got to recognize that they're just one, two, or three countries. There's not a mass exodus here.
And elaborate on what your boss, Paul Bremer, said. It was quoted extensively over the weekend as saying about the June 30th turnover day, about the fact he had concerns about the ability of the Iraqi forces to maintain peace and stability in Iraq. Where are we on that now?
Well, we are recognizing that the Iraqi security forces in some cases have underperformed in recent days. Majority of them are strong. There's some 200,000 Iraqis in security positions. 70,000 police, for instance. When we arrived here last year, there wasn't a single Iraqi police officer on the streets. So we have numbers, we have breadth. The question is the depth of the quality, and that you can't just build overnight. It takes time. dedicating serious resources to it, but we've recognized that there will be a substantial terror threat in Iraq post-June 30th, and the Iraqi security forces won't be completely ready to handle it themselves, so American security forces are going to continue to play a support role here because it is so critical in fighting the war on terrorism that we commit to securing this environment here. There are international terrorists here. There are international terrorists that are viewing this as the central front in their war, and we cannot ignore it.
And how do you define a support role? And maybe this is too complex to get into in a few minutes on the radio, but what would the rules of engagement be? Where would the support troops, the coalition troops, go? When would they decide to step in if there's trouble? How do you define that?
Well, I don't want to specify. It's too early to tell, and these are issues that will be addressed later on, certainly in discussions with the future Iraqi government. But I just think we have to recognize there's going to be substantial terror threat here. Some Iraqi security forces have performed well. Others have been lackluster. And we have an interest, America has an interest, in continuing to be a real presence here to secure the situation. How that actually manifests itself are things to be worked out. But I think the first point is the commitment. We want it. A majority of the Iraqis want it. There's real consensus on that point.
Dan Senor is with us for a couple more minutes live from Baghdad, senior advisor to Paul Bremer, administrator of the Coalition Provisional Authority in Iraq. Dan, perhaps you saw it or know it. There's a report in the New York Times today that says the following. Two American generals warned Tuesday that the occupation's authority policy of barring former Ba'ath Party members, including senior Iraqi Army officers, from government jobs was self-defeating and breeding resentment against the American-led efforts in the country. The general stopped short of criticizing the policy, but their remarks reflect a growing anger and frustration among many senior U.S. commanders. They say the policy of excluding many of the skilled Iraqi professionals needed to help the country's political and economic reconstruction, especially in the Sunni heartland, was problematic. Could the coalition, at hindsight's 2020, did the coalition make a mistake by not utilizing some of these senior Sunni people?
I think it's important to remember that we have an obligation here to remove the most senior elements of the Iraqi political structure here that was dominated by the Ba'ath Party, a terror-driven, dictatorial, totalitarian organization that was responsible for mass graves, torture chambers, rape rooms, chemical attacks. If we didn't remove that element from society, then Iraqis would think it was business as usual. The same Iraqis who tortured, maimed, slaughtered, gassed, those same Iraqis that did those things, if they're back in power, Iraqis would say this is not a liberation. So it is important that we remove that layer. It's also important to draw a distinction between those who were members of the Ba'ath Party but not by choice. They were either forced to do it, members of the Ba'ath Party but didn't have a real role, weren't really implicated, and just refining those distinctions is what we have to do now. But the initial step of removing the bad actors was central to reforming this country, which is what we're in the path of doing. And the majority of Iraqis feel that way. Most Iraqis want us to take a tough line on the Ba'athists.
How difficult is it to continue this fight, to conduct this fight, when it's not always clear who the enemy is, what group they belong to, what subgroup or subset they belong to? It's not just one group. It could be 4, 5, could be 10 or 20. How difficult does that make the fight, identifying the enemy?
Well, it's just a matter of getting the right intelligence, and that's the coin of the realm here. We have pretty good intelligence. It could always be better. We recognize that. And, you know, we are getting more and more Iraqis to provide information, more and more Iraqis to cooperate. It's happening every day, but we could always get better. It's a tough environment to be operating in.
Final question, have many of the reconstruction efforts being done by private contractors slowed down significantly because of security problems? I read over the weekend that they have. Is that what's happened?
It's too early to tell. Right now we haven't seen a major slowdown at all, but again, you got to wait and see what the ripple effect will be here. By and large, most contractors and companies came here knowing that there was substantial risk in this environment long before the events of the last 2 weeks. So in their planning, they put together a security, their own private security infrastructure to allow them to work here. Now, look, we'll have to wait and see how if things deteriorate significantly, what effect it will have. Right now, though, the reconstruction is moving forward.
All right, Dan Senor, who is a senior advisor to Paul Bremer, administrator with the Coalition Provisional Authority in Baghdad. Dan, thanks for your time, and be safe over there.
Good to be with you.
All right, take care.